Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, joined once again this week by James DeBoer. For those of you who tuned in last week, I hope the recording was okay. We were sitting in a fairly noisy atrium at one of the social events when we were trying to tape the podcast when Sue Kolb and I were at the NCAA convention. And I'll give you a little bit of an update on some of the legislation that we voted on. Nothing earth-shattering, but a two that were very close. And so we can report a little bit on that. Maybe I'll take care of that right now. We did vote on Saturday. I think you heard last week we talked about some of the educational sessions that we went to, which were extremely helpful. We're going to report on one of those a little more extensively later in the broadcast here today. But there, the legislation basically all passed. They were very close. I think the one on the sickle cell requiring all students to all student athletes to confirm their sickle cell trait status was passed by about 1% or 2%. I think it was 51 to 49 or 52 to 48, something like that, 47 and then abstaining. So that passed, and that requires then that all incoming freshmen and transfers to EMU next fall will have to verify or give us the status of their sickle cell anemia trait. And then by 14-15, all student athletes will have to do it. One of the reports coming back was the fact that it may not be all that complicated because at a certain point, and I forget the exact year, somewhere in the mid to late 90s, all babies were tested or children were tested. So it will be almost a moot point. It will be available right now. It's just something that is not on all the charts of all the other things that you get tested, et cetera. So that one passed very narrowly. And the other one that had a lot of debate to it was the social media, whether we were going to allow coaches to recruit using social media, particularly in Facebook. And the Student Athlete Advisory Council was against it. There was a lot of dialogue on the floor back and forth, pro and con for it. It did pass very narrowly again, and we were very surprised that after a break, it did not come up for reconsideration. During the legislative voting, they take a break after all the legislation has been done, and then they take a break and they open up a window of reconsideration. So, for example, if you lost, you may go out and bribe some. No, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Votes, yeah. You can go out and see if someone would consent to open it back up again. And you have to have a certain number of people who will sign on and say, yes, I'd like to have more dialogue, et cetera. None of that occurred, which really was sort of astounding because of how close the votes were, because we've had it many other years. So that was the that one did pass. How much it's going to be used, I don't know. Again, they may use the social network, but it can't be broadcast to everybody. It still has to be a private message. It has to be an individual one. And, you know, the pros and cons were on the invasion of the privacy of the student athletes. The coaches were saying kids don't respond to texts or emails or phones or whatever, and this is the way they do it. Another one that I thought was interesting was a lack of professionalism and not treating the student athletes, not making this is a profession. This is not just a so that was an interesting argument that went both ways. So those two passed. We made it back safely from the NCAA convention. It was a good time, always a good time to meet with our colleagues in the ODAC and, of course, make connections with some others. And throughout the next year, we'll be reporting on some of the other things that we may have learned in there. But that's the voting that took place. And then we came back, and, of course, we missed a couple of games while we were gone, and we've had a very exciting week this week so far. So, James, why don't you give us a little rundown on what's been happening since I don't know if you can cover whatever you want, whatever number of games you want to since we last done it, because we didn't cover any games last week as we were recording from Dallas.
Well, sure. It's always you talk about an exciting week. It seems like all of our games recently have been exciting, but this week has been even more exciting. On the basketball court, both the men and the women had rivalry games. We get two this year, but we're playing Bridgewater, and the men played at Bridgewater Wednesday nights, and then Thursday night the women came up here and played here in Yoder Arena, and both games were outstanding. Leads traded back and forth, runs back and forth, and both contests were just an awful lot of fun. Even more fun because EMU got wins in both of them. But Both our teams seem like they're picking up their pace right now. And the men, one of the things that was nice to see out of them was that it was a close game the whole way through, tied with about a minute left. And it seemed like the upperclassmen made some big plays. And so you like to see the upperclassmen step up. And what turned it for us was a tie ball game. And Owen Longacre missed a three-pointer, I think with about 10, 12 seconds left. But Andrew Thorne, our other senior, got an offensive rebound, kicked it out to R.J. Sims, one of our juniors. And R.J. hit a jumper that put us ahead with 8.5 seconds left. And Dejon Daniel, another junior, got a rebound on Bridgewater's missed shot, hit two free throws, and iced the game with a four-point win. So it's awful nice to see those upperclassmen stepping up and making plays. And I know Kirby Dean had a lot to say about Andrew Thorne, just grabbing that offensive rebound. And he said that's what seniors do, and that's what Andrew tends to do, is just find ways to make plays. And that's what the Royals have to do. We got done with that tough stretch playing Hampton, Sydney, Virginia Wesleyan, and Guilford, three of the top teams in the ODAC, and lost all three of them. Decent games in all three of them. The Hampton-Sydney game was sure interesting last week, Saturday. We trailed by 25 or 27 points at one point, and then got it all the way down to, I believe it was either 7 or 6 points somewhere late in the second half before losing by 10. But pretty strong second half, even in the loss to Hampton-Sydney, and hopefully the men can ride that into some positive momentum. The women's basketball team, they hosted Bridgewater Thursday night and scored the first 9 points in the game, and then ended up falling behind a couple minutes later, trail at halftime, but then dominated the second half with great defense. They allowed just 5 field goals in the second half to the Eagles, and one of them was a 3-point shot at the buzzer. So very good defense by our Royals women, and they are on a big-time hot streak. 5 games in a row they've won. They've won 8 of their last 9, and really they've been standing at the top of the ODAC standing since we really got into ODAC play, and it's fun to see the women hit their stride. They've been shooting well in some games. They shot 50% or better for 4 straight games. Against Bridgewater, they struggled to hit their shots, but their defense made it even tougher for Bridgewater to hit their shots. And so the defense won the game against the Eagles. And so our women can do it a number of different ways, and it's fun to watch them in their stride as well.
No, it was clearly a very exciting week, the rivalry piece that you mentioned in there. I should mention that they were originally scheduled to be played on the same day, and we sort of agreed that maybe that wasn't the best way to do. Certainly Bridgewater's gym couldn't have handled both of them at the same time, and we just decided to spread them out and not play on the same nights and make it that. But that has become a rivalry. One of the things that I would make an observation about is true is that the women's program, women's team, certainly being able to be consistent through the end, holding fast. These are young kids that still are pretty emotional. And so when you get the big lead and then they come back and the mood swings up and down, and same with the guys to some degree. And what that spells out in my mind is preparation for the tournament, because it does show, even though the men lost to, yes, Guilford, Wesleyan, and Sydney, but they're the top 3 teams, it does say they were in both, I think, all 3 of those, all 3 of those games. Which means it's not going to be a blowout, and you get to the postseason and you get to the floor at Salem, and most anything can happen. And on the women's side, just to be able to keep that composure through that and do what they had to do. And to understand, because some people don't understand, I mean, I don't think anybody really would have looked at it and known that stat that they only scored 5 field goals in the second half. It just didn't, because typically when you see a run, it's like steal the ball, layup, steal the ball, layup, and all that. This was just good, sound, solid defense, and we came down, ran good offense, and got it done. And that also is one which says, hey, we can do this now. So the build-up and the preparation towards the tournament, I think, is working pretty well for both teams. Who knows what happens, but you never know.
So a couple other teams either starting in the past week or stepping up their play again. The track and field teams, they had one of their indoor meets back in December, but they got back going on Saturday, and that sure was exciting. It's fun to watch the track and field teams blossom, just like the cross-country teams did this fall. It's the second year of Coach Jason Lukowitz, and things are really starting to blossom, I think is a great word for it. A number of top times in EMU history were set over the weekend, including a record for Hannah Chapel Dick. And it's just been a lot of fun to watch them. And so it'll be fun to see that season progress. Michael Allen is back for one more year, and it's going to take him a little bit to get back into form on the jumps and the maybe the sprints, but it'll I think it's just going to be an exciting year. We're not going to challenge for the team title because it's not a full team yet, but certainly we're going to have some great individual performances on the track teams. Men's volleyball had their alumni match last Saturday. Alumni matches are always a blast to bring back the alumni, whether or not they actually play the alumni. Not all sports do it that way, but it's just fun to have the alumni around and see the history of the program in one place. And it was a good match, and then they started their regular season on Tuesday and picked up a pretty solid win at Gallaudet. And Gallaudet is a program that just restarted this year. So partially that wasn't a surprise, but our team looked very good Tuesday. And that's also a team with a lot of seniors on it. The men's volleyball team, 5 seniors and 4 of them were starters last year, returning 5 of our starters altogether. So men's volleyball should also be an awful lot of fun this year with such a big returning class.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as is always the case, most of their matches are going to be on the road because of where we're located geographically. We'll talk about that at some other point. But, the track and field team, there's going to be a lot of records fall, and that's partially because track and field has just sort of been on the back burner here at EMU for a number of years for a variety of reasons. And now that the emphasis is there, I think, plus just the work that Jason Lukowicz has done in getting the quality athletes in, there's no doubt about that. To jump from, I think it was 16 or 17 on the roster last time to over 30 this time. Mm-hmm. I just completed the budgets this week, and we're all budgeting on 50 for track and field next year. So it just continues to grow, and so you're going to see that. He's doing a phenomenal job of getting that going. Be interesting to see on a men's volleyball, a new coach with 5 seniors. Things seem to be going fairly well now. The test is going to be, of course, is whether he can get into the recruiting and make sure that he replaces those. So we'll keep an eye on that. They are on the road this weekend, and make sure you keep checking that out. I'd like to finish up today by just making a couple of comments on both something that we saw experienced at the NCAA, and that has to do with the whole role that social media is playing in the sports world, and a few editorial comments, if I may, on the Manti Te'o situation, the All-American from Notre Dame that has been in the news quite a bit, and maybe you've had to totally bury your head in the sand if you know anything about sports and don't know about it. But it was interesting from my perspective. This whole issue of social media has been one that has been continuing to come to my mind and our minds administratively to say, do young people know how to use the social media in positive ways, and what are the traps that they can fall into? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into all of the situations with the Te'o situation because I don't know them all. I haven't even seen the Katie Couric interviews or anything like that at all. But to understand that someone can be caught up in and that far within social media and within technology does not surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. Because even if you think about those that get caught up into gaming or get caught up into video and connecting with other people and the fantasy that's there and not the reality. And this one goes a little bit deeper, I understand, because you actually had phone conversations and all that, and where was Skype? I understand all those questions, but it really doesn't surprise me. And it takes me back to some experiences we have had in which we've had to try to real, and we have not done a good job, I'll be honest to say that. And that's one of the things I've told Sue Kolb within this spring or next year. We really need to have some better educational sessions for student athletes about the use of social media. There are some athletic programs around the country who ban the use of social media by their student athletes during their season or maybe all school year long. The seminar that I went to at the NCAA took a quite different approach and said, that's burying your head in the sand. This is an avenue. This is a communication tool that students are going to use. It's time we educate them. If we know they're going to drive a car, you teach them how to drive a car. They were calling for us to teach how to use this effectively. And I think that's personally, I'm beginning to take that approach to say, you know, it's better to teach it than anything else. And one of the things that we notice is the fact that a number one problem in my mind is that student young people think this is private. Somehow they get this notion that it's private, and it clearly isn't. And that false privacy in my mind makes it easier to say something that you wouldn't say face to face. And so the Twitter accounts that are out there, some of the reason we talk about it is when you open up your Facebook page and there are certain ways you can do it. And I don't know much about it. I'll be honest to say that. So if I say something wrong, don't worry about it. But you just don't, in my mind, you also don't have as much control as what you might think you do. So whether someone posts a picture of you doing something that's inappropriate, make a comment, this and that, it just becomes public and spreads all over the place. And so the positive use of it and the control use of it, I think, is something we need to really look at and try to educate. So I don't agree with anything that Tejo has done, but it really doesn't surprise me in this age of technology and somewhat the lack of understanding of exactly what's going on and the power that it can have in that. You work in communications. You mm-hmm. use Twitter. You use all of those, a lot of those. We have an EMU Facebook page. Any thoughts you have about, and I know we've had a couple instances where people have tweeted things that are pretty negative about EMU or about me personally or a coach personally, and it's something you have to deal with. And yet I also look at it and say, okay, would you say that to my face right. if you were sitting down in a meeting? So just a couple comments you might have on how you use it or what you see some of the pitfalls are, because it certainly is something that we have to use to get the message out of what we're doing at EMU. And yet it seems to me it's got a lot of problems too.
Well, certainly. And I think what you talk about with teaching them, they're, you know, young student athletes, young people are using these things. So we need to teach them. And I think that's key to it. If you look back at where we were 20, 30 years ago, I mean, I remember my first years at college, the internet was a whole brand new thing. I remember looking at ESPN's homepage and it was all text, you know, no pictures or anything like that. And
at least you had a computer when you went to school, James.
Well, it had a green screen. It wasn't even a colored screen. So, but it's just amazing how quickly things have progressed. And that's part of my job in the sports information industry as well, is to keep us up to date with things. I mean, there's all these avenues out there. And so, you know, sometimes from my aspect, it's like, what do we all jump on board with? And the short answer for that is, you know, we look at what can effectively reach the most people, basically, and what's most effective with that. But you're very right that it's not all private, and especially once you hit the internet and computers, you know, maybe the common person like you or I couldn't get to some stuff, right. But there's plenty of computer hackers and whizzes out there that can easily beat some little privacy things and pull out whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely something that we need to, as a college, as a university, to teach our student athletes. That's what the college and the university setting is for, is to prepare students to head into the, quote, real world.
And I think you're absolutely right. We've got to find some ways to do that. We do have a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. As a university, I'm assuming, or as a sports in athletics.
Yeah, there's a couple through the university.
Now,
yeah.
Just so we clear, you do that.
Yes.
So when it's a tweet, it's you,
yes,
James DeBoer, but you're doing it on behalf of the university.
Yes.
Same with the Facebook page,
yes.
I'm assuming. So I don't want to get, you know, we've talked about the fact that we can say anything. This is sort of EMU talking, I would assume. Is that
right.
How you would look at it when you tweet stuff
for
out?
For me personally, I have my own personal Facebook account. I don't have a personal Twitter account. That's not me. But the EMU ones is totally separate from James DeBoer. I am posting stuff as EMU Athletics, and everything I post has to do with that. I don't bother talking about my children and the EMU Athletics stuff. So yes, everything I do is geared directly towards what EMU Athletics is doing or about our student athletes.
Am I to understand that from your perspective, the purpose of this, really the purpose of this explosion, is to get the word out to as many people as possible and use whatever avenues they're trying? So it's really a communication piece of what's happening?
Definitely a communication piece. I don't quite utilize either Facebook or Twitter in the way that could be done or the way other people do. Generally, what I do is post, like after a game, you know, I put my article up on the website, then I'll take that link from the article on the website and put it on Facebook and Twitter. So if people aren't, you know, waiting on pins and needles on our website page, they maybe have their Facebook page open and suddenly they see this article pop up and then they can go to the website and see it. So I'm using Facebook and Twitter mostly as an avenue of promoting what I put on the website, but you can also do all sorts of other things. But that's mainly how I approach
it. Well, we will certainly, and I think this is, like I said, the Teo situation, I think, has brought to light a lot, and that's part of the reason that we were discussing a lot, mm-hmm. although it was just breaking when we were down in Dallas about mm-hmm. that. But we all know that a lot of professionals, I talked to Eric Kratz not long ago, and he talked about how so many players now are on that kind of stuff, and they spend almost all their time there. And he talked about the impact that it can be because, again, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be you think it's private, but it's public, and there's some real bashing going on out there. Mm-hmm. And if you're thin-skinned or whatever, anyway, it's just rampant with challenges and difficulties. And I certainly want to commit ourselves as a department to help young people understand that. And I don't think we're going to go the route of taking it away. I do challenge them to possibly take it down during the season for the idea that people may post something that mm-hmm. involves them and they may not want to see that. So I wanted to at least make a few comments about it from our standpoint and let you listeners out there know that it's something we're very concerned about and that we are going to use as an educational tool because it's here to stay. We're using it, but we got to learn how to use it right. So, well, thanks for joining us this week. We may have gone a little bit longer, but I wanted to get some comments in here about social media and how that's impacting. I don't know how many of our – we're going to have some social media lessons in our department for those who don't have a Facebook page about how to recruit with a Facebook page. But I'm not sure. We're still going to maintain the personal relationship with our recruits and bring them on campus. We got a bunch coming on this Saturday. Looking forward to that. Getting into a lot of the kids that are starting. Met with a softball player last night, said she was really excited. She's been here a couple times, and I know we don't have any national letter of intent or anything like that, but she said, I made my decision this morning. I'm going to be here next year. So those are always exciting. We don't really count them until they're here, moved in, and stayed for a week. But other than that, we're okay. So, hey, thanks for joining us this week. We hope you've enjoyed a little recap of the sporting world here at EMU, as well as touching on an issue that's pretty prominent in the news today and certainly impacts our students. Student athletes here at EMU. Thanks for joining us. Until we meet again, I invite you to make it a great week.